League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
What up, everybody? This is Jason Lee, and this is Hollywood Unlocked Uncensored.
And this is Melissa Ford, a.k.a. The Curve Queen.
Yo, what's up? It's your boy Giovanni Watson.
Hello. Why did you have that slight little twitch in your seat when you went to introduce your name? Women have this thing. You fucking celebrity women. Every time I get on a red carpet next to you, I was just with Jasmine Sanders the other day, and as soon as a camera goes up, y'all get to doing all this shit. What is that?
It's because we are trying to align our body first with the lights.
And the lighting and the angles.
Yeah, and then we've got angles. You know, Jesus. Some women don't have, you know, curvy waists, so they've got to kind of make a waist.
Right.
You know. Yeah, but you have a curvy waist.
I know, but it's a habit. Like I
actually was looking at your Snapchat the other day, and when you were working out, I was thinking you have great form.
Thanks.
Your posture is on point.
Yeah.
That's and one thing my mentor, Will Smith, says is always your posture.
Now, is that a lipo suit you're wearing? Like, it just sucked everything in.
Because
everything looks so firm and smooth, and like, there's no,
no
fucking fix it on the damn Snapchat.
It's called compression wear.
I need compression wear.
Compression wear is amazing when you're like on a long flight. Because you know how you swell up on flights? Mm-hmm. Compression wear minimizes the swelling. And then the swelling's called edema and blah, blah, blah. However, there is a reason why my posture is so good.
You getting sex?
No. Okay. No, it's even funnier than that. When I was younger, I was horribly pigeon-toed and knock-kneed. Mm. And I also had a lisp. I was a total throwback. Like, throw her back in.
You were what I call, you were what I call retarded.
We don't use that word on this show.
No.
I was
so pigeon-toed that I would trip over my own feet when I was walking.
Mm. And pigeon-toed girls probably got some good.
Okay, well,
I was a child. One day I'm going to come to the show and everything is going to be about dick. Watch. Go ahead.
I would like to participate in that conversation. So anyways.
So tell me, you were pigeon-toed.
So I was pigeon-toed.
Yeah,
and like,
I like dick
just,
too, pretty much.
So I was just like, okay, this is a problem that I don't want to carry into my adult life.
Dick is a problem. I mean, Gio, what do you think about dick being a problem with your posture?
Listen, my girl walked backwards, so she, her posture's all fucked up.
Because, Gio, when you get a good piece of dick, let me just tell you, there ain't nothing like waking up in the morning just getting some good dick.
This ain't Folgers. Coffee, goddammit. I don't know nothing about that. Listen.
I love coffee, but I'd rather have dick in the morning.
Melissa, if you could have dick in your Folgers, would you want that little white shit they have in there, or would you want some dick?
I would prefer some dick in the morning over my Folgers.
Gio, what about you? If you could go to Starbucks and get dick on the menu, would it be dick latte? Would it be a dick on the rocks? Or what kind of dick would you get?
I think I get to go to hell.
Oh, okay.
So listen, can I continue?
Yes.
So I used to walk around with books on my head in order to correct.
No, you did not.
I promise you. And then my mom sent me to like a version of charm school. Mm. And so I used to walk around with books on my head, perfect posture. And now I don't walk with my feet. You know, it's called supination and pronation when your feet are in or out. I walk completely straight.
I think I'm pronated.
You pronate.
So this is what I'm going to do when I leave the show. I'm going to go to my office. I'm going to get a bunch of books and I'm going to put them on my head and hopefully I go straight too.
I don't know if that's going to work.
I don't think so either. Unless it's a book of dicks. What do you think, Gio?
Hey, man, listen, God is good, man. That's all I want to say. Glory to God, man. I read the Bible.
So you're saying gay people don't read the Bible?
Oh, mm-hmm. They do.
They definitely read Leviticus. But yeah, last night I went out with French Montana. I didn't get a chance to really talk to him because we went to Tao. It was the first time I've been to Tao.
Oh yeah.
Have you been in there?
Not yet. I mean, I love Tao in New York.
It's officially the best restaurant in LA right now.
You know, Beauty in Essex opened up by around the corner from your house.
I haven't gone there yet because you're the plug for that, and I'm not on the list yet. But Tao is beautiful. So
it's the biggest one.
I can't even describe it, but it looks like the movie with Jackie Chan and the nigga. What's his name?
Chris Tucker.
Remember how they were in there and he was hanging on the thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It looks like that. It's beautiful. So we went there last night, but he had this long ass table with a bunch of people. French was on that end. I was on this end. and we said, hey. And then then he was like, come with us to this concert. So I ended up at a Jeezy concert. My life insurance ain't active right now. So for me to be at that Jeezy concert, it was a lot going on. There was a lot of wheelchairs in there. There was a lot of violence. There was a lot going on at the Jeezy concert.
Where was it at? Like Inglewood?
It was, I think it was in prison. Because, I mean, that's a demographic I don't normally like. I've been shot. So for me to be around anything
concert
that feels like violence can break out at any moment.
I'm sure if you're going in with French Montana, y'all backstage, y'all somewhere.
We didn't go in with French Montana because he went ahead of us and we lost his convoy because I had an Uber. Fucking Uber fucking up again. So I get there late and I'm like, hey man, I'm here with French Montana. They were like, yeah, right, call him. I'm like, okay, see, I know the owner of this venue. So I call the owner. I'm like, yeah, I'm at this venue. And he was like, oh, I sold it 2 years ago. I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I'll take care of it. I was like, he's about to take care of it right now. Yeah, but anyway, we left early.
Oh,
good. It was too violent to me, free.
I love Jeezy, but there's no way I could go to a listen, I have borderline agoraphobia. Like,
what's that? Like
crowds. I get really, really, really nervous.
Agoraphobia is when you sit down with your hand like this and just agor the dick.
Agor, not adore. Jeezy the snowman. So yeah, I don't like big crowds too. I'll start getting like, that's why I like, I'm spoiled. I gotta have a bottle or a table. I gotta walk right in. I hate it.
You do not walk. Okay, yeah, I'm not gonna take yes, no I do. No jab at Gio.
Yes, I do. Don't take his shine away from this is him.
Listen, Jason, little do you know, I have a lot of juice in LA. A lot of juice.
Yeah, high C orange, Fanta,
apple, no, I'm and telling orange. You, bro. Wait, but like, listen, for instance, I invited Melissa to come out last night and had a table just waiting on her.
You didn't invite me out.
Yes,
last
I did.
Night. No, you did not.
I said you come through.
You did not.
Well, you didn't get it. I said, come through. Table just waiting. Bottle on the table. Just juice for no reason. She didn't come because she was sleepy and tired. But I got juice.
Like,
and look at that. And look at that. You didn't invite me. And I actually text you to see if it was popping because I was going to come out and finally support you. And
you
then,
know, you support me. You came into the Jardin.
I did go to the Jardin. I did. Little key, I only go to the Jardin to find boys who've drank too much at the bar.
That's
I live in the neighborhood. It's convenient. but no, I mean, I actually was going to go out. And then I went home. I laid on my bed. And I'm telling you, first of all, I'm looking for a relationship. So I invested my money in a bed that once you touch it, you want to lay in it. So I always bring my friends over and be like, yo, just sit on the bed real quick. And once they sit in it, it's like, oh shit.
Is it a Tempur-Pedic?
Yes.
The one that raises up and
No.
It's a Casper?
It's not a Tempur-Pedic. Then it's a memory foam or whatever.
I have one. But I love it.
You literally just don't want to go anywhere.
I love my bed.
Well,
it's really hard to get out of bed in the morning.
Thank you for wanting to come. It was one of the best shows I've ever had at Unplugged LA. And, I killed it.
I'm sorry.
I killed it.
I'm going to come at some point.
I killed it.
Pause.
Yeah.
Get it? Yeah, I got it. I don't get it.
Yeah, you got
it.
Fuck. Anyway. If you didn't get it, you want it.
No, I don't. Let's move on.
That's okay. Hilarious.
So look, so I went to the doctor yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It's so random.
I went to a doctor yesterday because I had a rash on my leg.
Okay.
On my lower leg, on my calf.
Okay.
Okay. So no, but listen, so I go in there, but it's a clinic. It's the only clinic I can find. It's a clinic where you go when you have STDs. So there's a fan in there from Love and Hip Hop.
That's awesome. Did they take a picture?
No, he's looking at me. I have mastered the I know you from Love and Hip Hop look. So he's looking at me and I go, bro, I ain't got no STD. And this little Asian woman next to me was looking at me crazy. I'm like, we're having a moment. He was like, okay. I was like, no, please.
Was it eczema?
I don't know what it is. Eczema, ringworm, I don't know.
You didn't try like Benadryl cream or something?
I went straight to the source. I want the shit that kills everything.
Mm. Right there. He wanted a shot.
Okay. So
I hate doctors.
What's going on in the world? Oh, well, he tested me. Like, he was like, oh, do you want to get some blood work? I was like, I didn't come here. I need to be mentally prepared for that.
Yeah. No. Going to the STD clinic, it's like you got to go through a mental preparation. Like,
How you living?
I've been there before. I'm like.
Okay, right. Both of you.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been afraid.
Oh, no. I thought one time, because I had caught that bad flu and I thought it was HIV. I went to the doctor and I got every test I could get and I went home. I prayed. I was fucking Muslim for 5 days. All day I would stop and drop on my knees and pray. And I'm going to tell you something. I went to the allergist to get my allergy test back. And there was a new doctor and he goes, oh, by the way, you're HIV negative. I wasn't ready for it. I was like, hold on, nigga. Like, you're not even supposed to be in that screen. Right. But wait. I went outside. I called Claudia Jordan. Uh-huh. I was crying. Bitch, I'm living. Bitch, I'm not that. She was like, oh, shit. Well, now I'm nervous.
That just gave me an idea for the next Hollywood Unlocked question of the day. Would you rather want? Would you like to know how you die? Would you want to know? Or not?
That's a good
know?
Question. That's would good you want to know how you're going to die?
I struggle with the idea of dying.
Me too. Because that's it's a just good like Hollywood unlocked question. For
one, it can happen at any moment. Mm. Like aneurysm. Boop, you just drive. You be driving down the street, just yeah. singing your favorite tune. Shout out to Damien Hall on Guy Who's Talking a Lot. But you could be singing your favorite Guy tune, and all of a sudden you die. I think about dying. Is the question, am I afraid of dying?
No. Would you want to know how you die or not?
If I knew how I died, I would live in my house in a Ziploc bag and I would not leave. You would have to come feed me through a straw. I would shit and piss on myself. I wouldn't even go to the bathroom because if it's drowning, I could drown in the toilet. If it's like, I wouldn't leave. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good question for next week. I would like to see what
fuck
the
fuck that.
What
you just
says.
Asked the question.
Well, okay. I'm talking about next week.
So when you stick your dick in somebody, you don't say, I'm thinking this would be good penetration for next week. You just did it.
Well, I wouldn't. I don't know.
So now that you asked the question, what do you think? Do you want to know?
That is a really interesting question. That really good fucking question.
Appreciate that.
I mean, well, because I mean, I went to school for forensic psychology, so I've always been like obsessed with death.
You have been a forensic psychologist. You have been a bartender. You have been a book carrier.
She's a plethora of things.
No, I got one life to live, and I want to live six lifetimes inside this one.
Amen.
But it's what I went to school for, so that's what I wanted to pursue as my career, and then acting and entertainment came along, and I think I'd want to know. I think I would want to know, and then I'd spend all my time trying to figure out how the fuck it happened.
Mm.
You know, I watched this one TV show where this psychic, she could see there was a number above everybody's head, and it was the number of days you had left. So she was the only one that could see it. And I was like, would I want to know what
this
my number
was? This a real chick?
Was?
I will tell you right now, I don't want to know the date that I'm going to die, because then it's like, fuck. First of all, okay,
looking at the calendar,
let me give you an
shit.
Idea. If I knew I was going to die in 5 years, I would stop wearing condoms.
Okay.
Fuck AIDS. I'm going to live past that. 5 years.
Then that's great.
I don't think I would want to know.
That'd be great?
I would be doing, okay.
I think it would afford you like a ridiculous amount of freedom.
I'd go back and kill a couple people.
See, there you go. Freedom.
My life sentence can't be more than 5 years.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I would do a lot of things. Like, what would you do if you knew you were running out of time? You only have a year left.
I definitely have more kids right away.
You would have kids just so you could, they wouldn't even get a chance to really know you.
That's all right. I need my legacy to be here.
You have a legacy.
Yeah, but what's I wanted to keep it going.
Why would you want to bring more kids in the world? They have to go to your funeral.
I'm obsessed with procreation.
But you're dying. You don't bring people in the world if you're
then,
about to die.
Listen, Lucius Lyon thought he was dying the first two
Lucius
seasons.
Lucius Lyon is not a real person. Let's start with that. By the way, I was at Sony the other day, and I don't know how I missed this, but did Lee Daniels actually say that there was a period of time where he was trying to catch AIDS?
I remember he had an interview with somebody, and it was some crazy shit he was talking about, but I don't know if he said that. If he said that, he's a savage.
That's what I heard.
He said he was trying to catch.
There was a period of time where he had a lot of friends dying of AIDS, and that he had wished that he started being very promiscuous, having a lot of unprotected sex, hoping that he caught AIDS.
Damn. Well, he didn't. That's the worst. Like, trying to commit suicide and you live. Like, that's the worst. Like, brother, you just jumped off the building, but you survived. Like, that's the worst shit that can happen in your life, I think, too. So, we just have a spawning 6 degrees of separation between the death.
The reasoning behind that just makes no sense whatsoever, because a death from, you know, related to AIDS and HIV is probably going to be really horrible and painful
slow.
Mm-hmm.
I told the story about my mentor, Edwin Flemings. I had mentioned before that he had died of AIDS. So I was in a group home. He gave me when my brother died, he reached out to me, gave me my first job working at the group home I graduated from. And he used to take pictures of me all the time with his, he had a Polaroid camera, which by the way, I miss Polaroid cameras.
I miss them too. I love them.
He used to take Polaroid pictures of me. Like every time I would come to work, he would take a picture. He'd take a picture with me, take a picture of me. And I thought it was weird, but I knew he was like a father figure. So I knew it was loving or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I had never knew he was gay. I didn't know anything about that. He's a black guy, looked like me, you know, real fly guy, whatever. And he was fly. I am fly in my own way, but he was more fly than I was. But one day I just came to work and his mom called because he wasn't answering my calls. I'm like, why isn't he answering my calls? And she was like, well, you know, he's not feeling well. And I'm like, why? And she was like, well, you know, he has AIDS. I didn't even know
he just said it like that?
Yes. I'm broke down crying at work.
That's so fucked up.
And I was just like, I gotta go home. And I went home, I never went back. And then he died and I never went to his funeral. It was crazy.
I have a friend right now that's living with HIV, HIV positive, back home in Gary. And man, the amount of medication.
I'm glad you clarified that, because you know at break I was about to go through your whole Rolodex. Like, wait a minute, I know a lot of your friends.
So. No, back home in Gary, man. I was the first person he told too. And that shit broke my heart. But he's still alive. He's doing well.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good, because AIDS used to be a death sentence, and now, you know, people can live very long lives.
Magic Johnson needs to share that motherfucking cure.
Yeah, well, it's called $20 million, probably.
Okay, you know what it also is? Magic Johnson does not drink. He does not do drugs. Oh, yeah. He works out.
His son does it for him. He doesn't have to.
Yeah, when you're living with that type of disease, with that virus, you have to live a very healthy life. Anything to help.
He does. We used to be in Taibo class together.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah, he's very physically fit. Very physically fit. Okay, that's how you do it.
So listen, we have a question. What is the question that we said we were going
to
go to?
Well, hold on. Speaking of which, we do have to send our condolences to actor Lance Gross. Yes. He lost his father. It's an awful thing to have to experience. I mean, I lost my father and, you know, it basically changed my life. So definitely want to send our condolences to him and his family.
We all know Lance, so great guy. Great guy.
I just texted him sending our condolences. So.
Yeah. Okay.
I like Lance. I just ran into his wife, Becca, the other day at this Fashion Bomb Daily event. And she was, you know, she's sweet. And I asked how her kid was
beautiful
doing.
Beautiful, yeah, beautiful baby. Yeah.
So, and Lance is always just a positive person. So.
Humble. Mm-hmm. Positive.
Mm-hmm.
Great photographer, by the way. But anyway, send our love to Lance.
Yeah, exactly. So our condolences go out to him. Speaking of, you know, we kind of have to address the Syria thing just one more time. You know I got really emotional about it yesterday, just because, I mean, it's, you have to be a special kind of, you know, asshole to not be affected by seeing children, you know, who have been basically maimed or killed by the release of just nerve gases and chemicals and whatnot. The Pentagon has determined that it was the Syrian government, the Syrian military that released the gases. They blamed it on militia, and it was actually them. So
now what?
So it looks like we're going to go to war with Syria.
But we're going to go to war with Syria, and just so I can set this up. So we're going to war with Syria for killing their people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how do we?
We're developing options for a military strike in response.
Because, okay. I mean, if we go in there and drop bombs, we're going to just do what they're doing. We have to probably have more strategic, black ops kind of.
Kind of the way we took out, you know, bin Laden. I think that it's probably going to go a little bit like that, maybe. I don't know. Look who's leading the charge.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of faith.
The one thing I have the one thing I actually have a lot of faith in is Donald Trump will go to war and just tell, he will probably walk in, there won't be a lot of
bet money on it.
Probably won't be a lot of strategy. It'll probably go like this. Go bomb all those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I don't care who you hit, just make sure you kill them all.
Which button do I okay.
You know, if I could just remind everybody watching, everybody listening, you know he has the codes to the nuclear bombs.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
He can destroy the world.
He could be having a bad day. What's his white name? Melania?
Yeah.
Melania might not want to give him some of that first lady coochie.
It's looking like she don't want to give him nothing.
let me ask a question. What happens if the president of the United States, because this, I really just got this question in my mind. The president of the United States wants to go to nuclear war and it's against everything that's supposed to happen. Who can stop him?
I think there is some commanders in chief that do the... I don't think he has the final say.
I think with the nuclear codes, there's these like briefcases that have like this kind of computerized setup.
Like the movies.
It comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
That requires fingerprints, handprints, and then, you know, a matching code
put
in.
People?
Like one or two other people.
But my question is if the president says we are going to nuclear war with Iran and it's his decision.
I think that,
anybody stop that?
Yes, I think he can be vetoed. I absolutely do.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does not have
He have to have congressional approval to go to war?
He does not have, that would be a dictator. I mean, like, I know he resembles one, but he does not have absolute power. He thinks he does. Mm-hmm. And he is slowly but surely realizing that he can get stopped by Congress and by the Senate. There's a system called checks and balances.
But when Osama bin Laden, when we took him out, Barack Obama didn't get approval for that.
No, that was what he was promised to the people by George W.
But here's my question.
Yeah.
Can Donald Trump say, fuck it. Y'all keep attacking Fox News and Bill O'Reilly. I'm done with this bullshit. I'm blowing up the world. Can he go and do that?
Just like Ms. Ford said, there is some, is it the word I'm looking for? Parliamentary procedures?
Okay, we cannot have parliamentary procedures.
Thank you. It's some other procedures that he has to go through to get the motherfucking COVID activated to blow the world.
We don't have a parliament. First of all, we have Congress.
Parliament like the band?
Good choice.
Thank you so much.
Good try, I mean.
You did try. Mm-hmm. At least you understand that there has to be another vote within the government somewhere.
We have a parliament in Canada.
If you were in London or in somewhere else,
Canada,
where they have a parliament.
We have parliament.
I will say this. Y'all two are very intelligent motherfuckers. Now, I'm smart. I might not be all of the fucking.
I mean, look, as long
but
as
y'all you, motherfuckers it, really
you have the
smart.
Spirit of discernment.
Gio, as long as you know you put one foot in at a time. And that in order to see in the dark, you have to flip a light switch. You're good. Everything
I'm not
else
cold
will happen.
From Martin now, motherfucker.
Side note. So at night when I'm laying in bed, particularly by myself, because most of the niggas that I fuck around with don't like the Golden Girls, right? So I watched two shows.
They're too young to even know about that show.
They like these old ass bitches. I'm like, don't you disrespect the pop culture icon.
That was the reason for Sex and the City. That was what was the inspiration for it.
So listen, when I watched either Golden Girls or Martin, I happened to watch Martin the other day, and Cole and Pam happened to get drunk at a bar on a boat, and they ended up in the bed together. And then Tommy came in, and his legs was a mess. I can't believe Tommy's dead.
I know.
He's only like, what, 54 years old?
So now we don't know two things about Tommy. What job he had and how he died.
I know. He was, he worked at the YMCA. That's what Gina Tisha Campbell revealed.
He was a social worker.
He was like a social worker for kids. But it made sense. He looked like a social worker.
But why did we never know that? Was he a
molester?
That's
the good writing, man. That's how you keep that's how you keep that, you ain't got no job joke going entire seasons.
Mm. So he is playing with kids all day.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Oh, rest in peace, Tommy.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Tommy Ford. And do you know every movie he played, his name was Tommy?
No.
Yeah.
So when they had his funeral, was it for Tommy or was it for,
Wasn't his name Tommy?
Yeah. All his roles for his act, it's Tommy. But his real name is Thomas Ford.
No relation.
Stop laughing about this dead man.
No.
May he rest in peace.
Love him so much,
no
man.
Relation whatsoever. So, so Indian police are reviewing reports of missing children because they found a 12-year-old girl they believe to be 12 living in the forest with monkeys. She couldn't speak. She ran around like monkeys on all fours.
Wow.
And then when they tried to rescue her,
they should have said, stop monkeying around.
Her clan tried to attack her rescuers.
Yeah. Yo, did they, like, from birth? Like, on some Tarzan shit?
Well, they don't know who she is or where she came from. They have no clue.
Is she walking around on all fours?
Yes.
Yeah,
still right now?
Well, no. She's in the hospital now, and she's eating and smiling, but she's still not talking. So, apparently, she's been there for a long time because she doesn't know how to talk.
So, how is she surviving? Like, what did she eat?
Listen, you have to
survive in the forest.
Yeah, you have to understand that humans, quote unquote, we spawn
when you're
from
a child,
monkeys.
Though. When you're a child, people are feeding you or teaching
monkeys
you how to
eat. Monkeys is feeding her. Was feeding her little grapes and walnuts and shit.
The body needs more than grapes and walnuts.
Listen, I don't know. They
have
was
ever,
feeding her.
Have you ever seen monkeys like turn around? This is what they do. This is how they eat. They pick gnats off of each other.
That's
so
disgusting.
First of all, my neighbors used to do that too. I remember I used to live in this one apartment building next door to an apartment where in Stockton it's very segregated. So you have an apartment where you have all Asian families and you have an apartment where you have all Black families. Mm. I don't know why it's that way. It is that way. It was that way back in the 80s. And this apartment building next to us, there were a lot of Asian families in there. And I remember they used to, this one family used to cook, like cut up all their fish and stuff on the porch outside where we could see. They'd just be chopping fish heads and shit off. But I think like in their culture, maybe it's fish heads. In ours, it's pig ears and pig. Mm-hmm. Why y'all be doing animals like that?
Well, I mean, well, in the West Indies, there's something called goat's head soup. I think that's Jamaican. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And it's fucking goat head.
I saw a video where they were bringing live monkeys to a table and people were hitting them in the head and eating the brains out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like my girls, like I said, my girl's West Indian.
I'm
Guyanese.
Half Asian and they eat monkey brains.
So my girls, why? Be eating the
I don't fucking know.
Shit.
I don't do that shit. That Russian in me will not allow that to happen.
Mm-mm. I'm weird with.
I'll have flying fish.
Jason, let me say what I'm going to say. Don't go overboard.
Listen, I don't always say something gay, so go ahead.
I have an issue with textures in my mouth, so I can't eat a lot of. Shit, like I can't eat caviar. I can't eat
escargot.
I can't fucking eat shrimp with the eyes and take the head off. Like, I can't do juicy at all.
So now I'm gonna say what I wanted to say. you have a thing with texture in your mouth. So you don't like things that are soft and gushy. You like something like a little bit more texture, like a little firm.
Me too.
Me too. At least we find out we all have a lot in common. Oh, God. Let's say you have a question.
Okay, so this is a legit question. I can already say yes. Could you go a week without sex? I'm like, I have cobwebs, okay?
Sex includes finger banging or touching your genital areas.
Wait. Hold on. Sex does not include masturbation.
Sex includes a penis going into your vagina canal. Yeah.
Masturbate or into your ass or into your mouth. So, but playing with yourself, is that not some kind of sex?
No, it does not count.
Masturbation creates sexual pleasure.
It does not count. No, it just keeps the fucking pipes flowing. That's all it does.
No,
yes.
You did not take sex ed and they said, this is how you keep the pipes flowing. That's where you go to Roto-Rooter, motherfucker.
Yo, no.
It keeps the pipes flowing.
Physical sex.
Physical sex with another person or.
I mean, yeah, I can go a week without that.
Yeah, that's easy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
try 2 months. Try 3, 4 months, 5 months.
That shit sucks.
No.
I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it at all. Okay. Could you watch your partner have sex?
Fuck no. I'm a jealous motherfucker. I'm crazy as fuck. I'm sorry. I just had a moment right there. I'm so sorry.
You blacked out for a second.
I'm sorry because I saw my girl. I can't do it.
So I just had. Where you want
to
go?
I was going to say, I like to believe that I could be that liberal. You know, like maybe if we were like in another country and we were never going to see the bitch again. Hold on 1 second. It could be me.
So you would be in a relationship with a guy and let him watch you have sex with another guy?
I couldn't do it.
Again, in my head, I would like to think I am that liberal.
And don't let him be ramming you better than your man. He going to be all type in his feelings.
Well, listen, if you look at gay relationships, they typically don't last more than 6 months. So, I mean, 6 months is like
it's like a marriage.
You're married at that point. So I was just having this conversation with somebody last week who I had met from Dallas about, you know, compatibility. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, finally for the first time, I tried something different. I tried a conversation. So I said, do you see yourself getting married? Do you see yourself having a family? Do you see yourself in a relationship? Mm-hmm. And the answers are yes, 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 yes. I said, okay, cool. And I said, would you ever be open to having another person join your relationship or having partners join in here and there, whatever? And we had a real conversation. He was like, yeah, I would be open to conversating about it, you know, to keep the relationship alive, like to keep it fresh. Yeah, I would. So when I think about it, yesterday when I said to somebody, they said, am I the one? I said, well, you're one of three. Because I see myself having multiple situations. I don't want to have one situation.
You want concubines?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a concubine, but, you know, I mean, everybody, like, you'll get with your girl. Like, right now, your girl, she pleases you in many ways.
Yes, she does.
When you have sex, she pleases you too. Mm-hmm. But you're not wanting to have sex with her every single day. You may meet somebody that you may want to have sex with every single day.
Dang, that's deep.
And then now you have that person for the fun time.
I would love to meet that person.
I was with the one that I thought I caught HIV from, but I didn't. I just caught salmonella. that motherfucker, I was having sex with every day. I didn't love the person. My last relationship, I'm not going to talk about that anyway.
Right. I'm not either.
What, your last relationship?
Yeah.
No, because you have legal
issues. No, but here's the thing.
When you were with Yezzy, did you cheat on her?
No.
Did she cheat on you?
I don't know.
Would you have been open to having... Do you think another person would have saved that relationship? Like, if you would have...
No, she was very, very territorial.
Okay.
She didn't even like me breathing in the direction.
Mexican women don't typically want to be open to that shit.
Nah, but that's why I think she went over and beyond to deliver in the bedroom. So we wouldn't have to.
What do you mean?
She was very, very... She's a very sexual being.
Well, remember what your friend said in the text about the girl sucking his dick. And he was like, white girls, you know, contrary to popular belief, aren't very good at this. It's the Spanish girls and the black girls.
And which is why a lot of black men probably got a white girl.
Why?
White girls are far more liberal than black women.
Yeah. You know what?
In the bedroom.
The times I had sex with white girls, like, I really treated them like they was like the scum of the earth and didn't feel bad about it at all.
And they loved it.
That right there, everybody, is called reverse plantation mentality. Okay.
No, but think about it. I know I just said something that people are going to be like, what the fuck did he say? They're going to be typing before they even finish. So let me just say that. Mm-hmm. I think white women are far more liberal from what I hear from my friends. Because again, I'm not a curator of straight straight sex, so I don't know. But from what I hear is white women are far more liberal than black women.
Meaning they'll allow.
They will let their friends come in. You can nut all in their eye socket. You can fuck them in their ass. They could tell, oh baby, I really got a shit. And he could be like, nah, suck this dick real quick. They will stop, shit on themselves while they suck it. They will worship.
I had a blumpkin from a white girl.
A what?
A blumpkin. You don't know what a blumpkin is?
I do not.
That's when you get in head while taking a shit. A blumpkin.
You just want to inject something dumb in the middle of a serious conversation.
I'm dead ass serious. White, and she was white. I'm trying to add value.
You had a what?
That girl, white girl. A blumpkin.
What is a blumpkin?
You didn't hear what he just said?
No.
He was getting his dick sucked while he was taking a shit?
Yeah, in the toilet.
Really?
Yeah, it's called a blumpkin.
A black woman would never do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, an Asian woman would do it. An Asian woman would do it. And a white woman would do it.
Oh, my God.
But if, I'm going to just say this to all the women out there that we
love. There's going to be a bunch of white women in your fucking comments saying, Negro, no.
No, he might create blumpkin donuts. You never know. But the thing I love about our show is that I know what, because women right now on the live are going in. They are so mad. It's like, what the fuck y'all on the live? We're just talking, right? We love you. But no, seriously, like if you suck a man's dick while he's taking a shit, you should commit suicide.
Okay. First of all, that is very disgusting. Secondly, yeah. I do have to take up for, you know, women of color saying that we're not, you know,
exciting
in the bedroom. That is a motherfucking lie. I've been in a conversation with a bunch of my girlfriends and some of the things that they say, I will literally be clutching my pearls. I'm like, I don't do anything. I might be whack, but I definitely know my girlfriends
can I say
are
something?
Not.
Can I say something? I'm not saying women aren't exciting.
I'm very
black women aren't exciting.
I'm very theatrical.
I'm not saying but I'm not saying that black women aren't exciting in the bedroom. What I'm saying is that black women are not going to. First of all, you're not going to let a nigga nut in your hair.
I'm the dude that
you are
like,
not.
Oops.
Wait, you are not letting a nigga nut in your hair. If a man pulled out and started spraying you down like a fire, 3-alarm fire, you are going to be all types of over that. I know that. I have 5 sisters. Am I right? Okay, cool. That's number one.
No.
Wait, white women, you can nut in their hair like Vidal Sassoon. It'd just be a whole new type of brand.
Okay, ain't it the truth? Listen, no spraying in your face, like no spraying, but I mean like.
I know a nigga named Eric who lives in Atlanta, who when he comes, it's like, it's disgustingly all over the place.
Oh, I love those when I do so, to my people.
Calm down.
If somebody is jacking off or whatever, or is having sex with you, and then pulls it out and sprays it all in your face and your hair.
I've never met a sprayer before.
I can introduce you to one.
Nah, I don't think
Listen,
I want to.
Listen, all a dude gotta do
I'm
is
a squirter, so I don't need a sprayer.
Wait, what?
Mm. Oh, what?
What did you just say?
I don't know. What did I just say?
No, T-Bone in real life. What did you just say?
Who, what, where?
What did she say?
I don't know.
I could have sworn I heard her say, I'm a squirter, so I don't need a sprayer.
There's somebody on the highway.
Wait, so my friend AJ, he's in Houston, calls me and tells me that he had a girl over his house and she sprayed all over his face and his sheets, all over, and he enjoyed it, and I was disgusted.
That sound like, don't threaten me with a good time. That sound like a good old time. You said, what? You a squirter.
So anyways, do we have some music?
I'll tell you right now, if you squirt, shoot anything and touches my face, because I have a really good skin regimen. It's called water and soap. That's it.
So you don't use the products that I bought you.
Well, I tried, but it broke my fucking neck out.
What?
I was like, anyway, Kiehl's not good for the skin.
Okay. No, some people don't take well to Kiehl's. Yeah. Some people don't take well to Kiehl's.
I didn't heal the Kiehl.
Okay.
That's
sorry,
crazy.
So I was sitting here thinking of something really inappropriate, but I'm not going to share it on the radio because, you know, I really feel like I do a lot for the audience. I share all my fucking business. I think a minute ago I just said I think I had ringworm. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you can cure that shit. I wouldn't come in here and tell y'all about some shit I couldn't cure. Like, if I had hepatitis, I wouldn't tell nobody. I would just let y'all be eating off my shit and everything. Not my shit, because you eat ass, so I don't want the audience to get confused. I'm not talking about you.
Hilarious.
And the fact that you said you like texture in your mouth today, we're going to make a blooper reel of all the gay shit you say. You say more gay shit on the show than I do.
People say things like, I don't like to, when you're watching fucking Food Network, your texture of your meat, like, they say that shit.
The texture of your meat.
Fuck. Just move the fuck on, man.
The texture of my meat?
No,
or the
man.
Texture
I'm talking,
of,
okay. Move on.
I didn't know what meat we were talking about. God. Anytime I have a nigga next to me this close, talking about meat, we talking about some other shit. Okay, so yeah, we were talking at break about, you know, we do read all the comments of all our fans. We appreciate the love. And I love that some of y'all love to hate us. Some of y'all talk about me. Some of you talk about Gio. Some of you talk about Melissa. I think Gio is, I went on the show yesterday. I see Gio is all in the comments talking to the fans. Because Gio is trying to win over his army. And it's great. I'm glad that you're motivated.
I want
to
them to know that I appreciate what they say about not only me, but the show. And
Gio,
I,
what
thank
do they
you.
Call, what do you call them?
They call me, they made it the Gio Army.
The Gio Army.
Yeah, Gio okay. Lives Matter.
I've not heard about the Gio Army, but if that's something you're creating on the show,
no,
hashtag
that's what
Gio
hashtags
Army.
That some girl, and like girls, you know, girls be like, I'm on.
Okay.
You know,
so the greatest part about working with an actor is the shit don't have to be true, but we can make it seem true. But I do read the comments. Unfortunately, I don't have as much time as Gio to respond to everybody, but we love them. But one of the, a lot of the comments that we read on one of our episodes where Amina Butterfly was here was about Melissa and her conversation around identifying with white women. People did not understand. People
because,
thought that
because they didn't understand what I said. I understood with one specific, I identify with one specific white woman, my mother. I was like, I don't understand how people took my comments. Look, I'm born and raised in one of the most liberal cities in the entire world. Okay. When we have an awesome immigration system. When you come over to our country, we don't tell you to assimilate. We tell you to embrace exactly who you are, what your traditions are. So, you know, I grew up in an all-Italian neighborhood. My father was black. My mother was white. I didn't even understand the concept of racism until I was in my teens. I didn't understand it. You know, the only time it was ever brought up to me when I was young was when I was around 7 or 8 years old. I was hanging out with my friends, you know, my Italian friends, and one of their, like their family had come over, their cousins from the States. And in the US, I find people are just really obsessed, overly obsessed with not just racism, but a form of kind of self-segregation almost. And that's just not the way that it was in, for me, so, my experience in Canada. So the first thing he said, he was like, "You're black." And I looked around, I was like, who's he talking to? I didn't understand why, what the connotation was. It wasn't just
but
that
you
was,
knew you were black.
It's weird. It's hard to explain.
Well, let me back up and ask this question. So in Canada, do people see race as a division? Like there's black and then there's white.
I mean, I cannot speak for the entire country of
in
Canada.
In your experience, where you
in
were.
In my experience in Toronto. Toronto is the largest city in Canada. And it is the biggest, most metropolitan city. And it is very, very liberal. So I did not experience racist things happen to me. I just didn't. I didn't experience people saying racist epithets to me. I didn't experience it. I didn't experience it until I moved to this country.
And so your experience is your experience. And
so
it's maybe different than
So when I say I identify with this white woman who is my mother who gave birth to me, I look like her. When she laughs, we laugh
but you
the
did,
same.
But you didn't say that to me. You see yourself as a white woman.
No, I didn't say that. I see myself as a white woman. But a lot of people, you know what they say? They're like, oh my God, you're just like a white. You want to know what black folks say to me? What they've always said to me, as I've gotten older, you talk like a white person. So I'm like, the hypocrisy gets on my fucking nerves. So when I say, acknowledge that there are things about me that somebody might say that's seen as
that's
more
proper,
of a white
proper,
thing.
Proper, but not white.
Exactly.
Wait, but why I'm does the connotation of what's proper have to be white?
I'm not the one who made it up. I can't stand when people use a situation as a source of convenience to enhance their argument. But when it does just the opposite, suddenly they're up in arms about shit. Go fuck yourself.
Well, listen, let me tell you something. I went to the Jeezy concert. I don't know. I know who Jeezy is. I don't know a Jeezy song. There is nothing that I feel I can relate to with that audience other than we're all black. Right. I know I'm black. I love being black. My mama's white. My daddy's black. And I love being black. And I love advancing the black culture. But to me, advancing the black culture is not being at some rap concert with a pistol, smoking a blunt, and drinking Hennessy.
Right.
Now, there is a demographic of our culture that does that, but that ain't me.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make me less than black because I want to use proper pronouns, mm-hmm. I want to use proper sentences, mm-hmm. or I want to make a lot of money the mm-hmm. positive way. Mm-hmm. But some people may say, oh, this nigga, he's moving up now, so look, he's not black no more. He ain't real.
Exactly. Like, here's the problem that I have with people trying to put me in a box, okay? I've always had a problem with people trying to put me in a box and categorize me as something. You know what I'm, I just think that that's unfair to do to anybody. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, I grew up in a place with amongst people who allowed me to grow in a way that my brain does not function in terms of identifying myself by race or gender. I know what I am. My father was black. My mother was white, is white. Sorry, my father passed. My mother's still alive. I know exactly who I am. But the first thing, when I say who I am, when I introduce myself to the world, I'm not introducing myself by way of gender or by race. I think that those are further down the list. I don't want to be known by that. I want to be known as intelligent. I want to be known as compassionate, listen, caring. Those are the things I want to be as my identifiers.
I want to be known as having a big dick and making a lot of money.
I would also like to be known as somebody who has really amazing pussy.
That's great.
But I say that to say that I really feel like, first of all, what I love about our audience is, you know, we love you, first of all. Mm-hmm. I love every comment, the hate, the good, the bad, the fact that we have you talking and sharing. And mm-hmm. I love it all. Come on, bring it all. I'm not going to tell you all to suck a dick and die because that would be rude. I love everybody that has something to say. But I wish our audience could switch roles for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, having been somebody on the outside judging, whether it's your magazine cover, your movie, mm-hmm. your whatever, mm-hmm. you know, I know as a fan watching a performance going, that shit's whack. It mm-hmm. takes a lot of courage to get on that stage.
It
takes a lot of preparation and a lot of teamwork and mm-hmm. a lot of skill and mm-hmm. just passion in this mm-hmm. person's fight, but you don't think about that right. as an onlooker. You're just like, I don't like that outfit. Yeah. So when I look at some of the comments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll just throw one out there about me. So people will say, oh, I'm tired of hearing him talk about all that gay sex with his fat ass. Let me tell you something. I live in this body. I know me. I got niggas and I ain't worried about it. And they ain't worried about it. So when they talk about me, you don't want to hear that I got options and mm-hmm. that I'm out here with a bunch of, you've seen me do it, you see mm-hmm. me do it. Mm-hmm. But I read the comments, I kind of laugh because I'm either laying up with a nigga, mm-hmm. shopping with a nigga, traveling with a nigga, eating dinner with a nigga. Yeah, I'm eating dinner with a nigga. And the nigga knows me and I know him. And I laugh because you mad.
Right.
So I don't look at
you're
haters.
Mad that you're living your life.
You mad because I'm living my life out loud.
Yeah.
I can do anything, go anywhere,
say
anything.
It's a lot of undercover brothers out here, man. So I appreciate you being on the bullhorn.
And sometimes they're at my house and we're reading the comments. But, you know, it's not a bad thing that, like, I'm living my life. So I look at the comments and I don't remember you saying you identify as a white woman. However, as the product of your parent,
yeah,
you should be able to relate to your parent.
Thank you.
Your parent happens to be white.
Exactly. And that's also what I want to say. You know, like, and just the fact that, you know, me and my mom have had a tumultuous relationship. For me to be at this point in my life where I have nothing but love and admiration for her and understand the sacrifices that she makes, that she's made for me, the only thing that I can do is to honor her by saying, yeah, I see myself in that white, which my mom is white, mm-hmm. blonde hair, green eyes, like white as the driven snow white. And I see myself in that woman and I am so proud. And I will say this, that all of my half biracial friends here in the States, they had it really, really difficult because they were forced to choose. You're not black enough to be black. You're not white enough to be white. So they didn't know where they fell in the spectrum. What they faced was ostracism. That sucks. Nobody should be made to feel like they're not enough of something. Nobody.
I agree.
What I'm saying? So that's just my point for everybody who thinks that I identify with white people. Look, I identify with human fucking beings.
Let me say something else. And people will say, oh, we like this person better than that person. We like Gio better than Doughboy. Well, we like everybody better than Doughboy. We like Claudia better than Melissa. Jason needs to leave. This. Let me just be very clear. We are the host of Hollywood Unlocked and Censored.
Mm-hmm.
We are the people you tune into every whatever day this motherfucker comes on. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be here. And we love our audience and we want you. But be more constructive. Share with us like how you want to see this show improve. And give us your ideas, but like realize like we're opening up and sharing our world with you. Yeah.
Somebody called me a cunt yesterday.
Damn, if somebody call you a cunt, that's
I didn't know that cunt was such a bad word.
Fuck yeah.
Well, hold on.
Can we have one full show? I just have an idea. Next show, no guest. Just read all the comments. Like, read comments.
Oh, God.
Like, when celebrities read tweets about them?
No, I'll have to check into, like, a fucking...
No. Listen, this shit would be hilarious. Why don't we have one full show where we just read comments?
I don't know if Melissa can
pick
do it.
Jason, you know you're going to have to pick me up off the floor.
I know. I'll come with some...
I don't think we should.
I'll come with a wheelbarrow.
We're going to need some weed, and we're going to need some alcohol.
I'll come with a wheelbarrow. You guys can choose whatever questions about me. I can choose whatever questions about you.
Oh, God.
You know what? That actually is a good... idea is fun.
Gio, don't jump on that bandwagon.
I don't think we should do it.
Okay. Let's talk about it. Let's.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Let's not do a whole show.
Now
people about
to
start
like
really
three.
Putting some Wait, shit down.
Let's
on
do.
Purpose.
Let's do this. Let's raise hands for those who want to do it. Raise your hand.
That's because his feet look like hands.
That's because I'm on all fours, baby. And I'm just playing with a joke. All right, so I was telling a story about one of my homegirls and her friend, her guy friend was trying to get me drunk. He was like, yo, my nigga, you got to drink this drink. I'm like, yo, I don't want to drink that drink. He was like,
trying
nah.
to roofie you.
He was like, I got to get you drunk, bro. So I'm thinking like, why, like you have to drive to work because you have to get to work. You have to put on your clothes because you have to get dressed. Why do you have to get me drunk? My nigga, you trying to get some head. Like, I'm not that guy.
I have a guy friend that's always trying to get me drunk. And I'm just like...
Because he's trying to fuck.
No, I get it. I'm like, but I'm not... Drunk sex is no bueno with no
tipsy sex.
First of all,
fine.
I can't remember anything.
That's
okay,
perfect.
And I
That's
like
why.
No, fuck that shit because I like to play that shit back in my head when I go through a dry spell. Yeah.
Don't. But he was all up on. Then I'm looking at my girl like, wait, what is y'all relationship? She's like, oh, that's my guy. I'm like, well, the nigga's trying to get me drunk. So I'm thinking, okay, clearly he's trying to shoot his shot. So we exchanged numbers. We never talked, but whatever. Because he was trying to network. So it was like mixed network, trying to fuck. It was a lot going on. So Gio said at
Welcome
break.
Welcome to LA.
At break, I said, Gio, would you go to a guy and say, yo, I'm going to get you drunk? And you said, what'd you say?
To my niggas, I was like, yo, I got to get you fucked up, bro.
Gay.
No, it's my nigga's birthday. I gotta get you fucked
no,
up.
No, now you trying to add layers
That's
to it.
That's when I said it.
At break, you said, when you and your niggas have a sleepover and he wake up.
I did not say that. That's so fucked up.
It's like, when you wake up and you look at him in his onesie and he look at you in your onesie, y'all be like, my nigga, I gotta get you drunk. And then y'all get drunk.
Oh my God, Gio, you have a onesie? Let's have a sleepover. I have a chicken soup onesie.
I have a onesie.
I did not say that, y'all. I did not say any of those words at all. He just threw D's on that.
You were like, when we're at the Grove and we're feeding each other, I say, my nigga, I'm about to get you drunk. It was something like that.
He just threw 24s on that. I did not say that at all.
That's hilarious.
I don't have a onesie, though, but I do want to get one.
You should.
I got a onesie. There's a store called Onesie, and they're designer onesies, and they're fucking
expensive as fuck.
They're like $200.
Yeah.
I'm going.
I ain't paying that much for no
And they're so comfortable, and I wear it when I get on a plane. So one day I went to the airport with my onesie and forgot my coat. And I was wondering why everybody was looking at me. I'm like, why are y'all looking at me? Because I'm fly. Because I have my shades up. Because you told me to buy sunglasses. Yeah. So I'm in the airport walking through thinking they all see me on Love & Hip Hop. And I'm up in that motherfucker like this. But I forget. Oh, shit. I got a onesie on.
With some Balenciagas.
Okay, but wait. No. You do know that there is like a policy for United that you've got to dress a very kind of specific
I get on
way.
United looking. I saw that on The View. I get on United looking any kind of way.
Yeah.
I don't go in pajamas and shit. But like a onesie. It's a designer onesie. So it looks like an outfit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. United caught a lot of
jogging
for that
great jogging pants and a hoodie for me.
Well, listen, this That's was nice. A great show. I had so much fun. It was so perky. I learned a lot. Gio, I got some texture for you in my.
Anyways.
Yeah, somewhere in my pocket or something. But anyway, we're out.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.